Lord, we ask you to lead us in a time of searching out your word. Bring to life these words. May we live it out each and every day. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Well, this is our third week in our series. And today we're talking about this idea of power and glory. I don't know if you grew up the same way, but did you ever grow up in the manner in which you looked at like a professional sports team? Maybe it was a team that won the World Series, and like, man, I wish I was on that team. They get a big ring, they get their name all over. Maybe they get a statue if they do really well, and they get their name in the Hall of Fame. What would it be like to be in the Hall of Fame, that everybody would see me? What would it be like to have a statue in downtown Wilmer? What would you look like? What would you look like if someone made a statue of you? How would they want you to memorialize stuff? So growing up, and come on, guys, deep down inside, some of us do kind of wish that were true, right? We do, maybe it's not that we want to be remembered, it's just we don't want to be forgotten. We don't want to be forgotten. We want to have this into our heads that our life mattered for something. And on the dark side of, the dark side of that, since we are going into this little series, the dark side of that is that I wish I could just take control of my destiny and literally take a hold and carve out my own niche in the world, so that some way, somehow, the path I left is something that some people will remember. And so, taking a look at you know, this is one of the biggest movies to ever come out, this trilogy. They're keep making these movies because we keep going and spending a lot of money. But the first six movies were all about this. They're all about the pursuit of power and glory. And so we take a look at this right now.
I know, Father.
So, you have accepted the truth.
I've accepted the truth that you were once Anakin Skywalker, my father.
That name no longer has any meaning for me.
It is the name of your true self you've only forgotten. I know there is good in you. Come with me.
Obi-Wan once thought as you do. You don't know the power of the dark side. I must obey my master.
I will not turn, and you'll be forced to kill me.
If that is your destiny.
Suit your feelings, Father. You can't do this. I feel the conflict within you. Let go of your hate.
It is too late for me, son.
Couple things there. That is almost golden. That is, I know you guys are like, how can Star Wars really relate to life? But it's almost golden. Whereas, did you hear the struggle that was inside of him? Interesting enough is, in the very first little clip, it's this idea that something had taken over him, so much so that he had left who he was. He was Anakin Skywalker, but because of his hate, it had taken over so much, that he became a different person. And so very interesting. It's like theologically, that's just like light bulbs just coming off and on. They're actually talking about sin and how sin can so engross us and so much cover us. And so the small part that actually shines through is almost non-existent sometimes. You see people and you just wonder how life just envelops and Satan just pulls up mounds and mounds and starts covering people so much so that there's almost nothing left to shine through. But in that second part, it's interesting. Did you see the son coming up to dad and saying, "Dad, would you please let go of everything that is evil inside you?" And he says, "You don't know the power of the dark side. People are attached to sin." And it's interesting enough, is you and I no different than anybody else outside these walls. We can get into a frame of mind that each and every day, it doesn't matter, that we are going to allow sin to encroach in our minds and not be blocked off and not be dealt with. That struggle is not dealt with, so much so that sin is left to keep going, Soon, it's so much so that to get back seems like I can't even do it. I can't even get to the point where I can't even feel that God loves me anymore. There's no way. And sin has been heaped on us. So there is a struggle between father and son, but also there is a struggle. The struggle was with inside himself. Just as we have this struggle inside ourselves. And interesting enough is when you look at your gospel reading, pull out your bulletin if you would for me. I want to take a couple look. I believe this is what's happening inside our gospel reading. And so when we take a look at our gospel reading, let's read this together. Mark chapter 10, verse 37. And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." So if you're looking at what they used to do in the royal courts back then, the royal courts, is that the king would come sit on the throne so that everybody in the room could see him. And the people on the right would be his most prestigious followers. And the people on the left, they're just happy to be there. So what is being said is these two brothers come up and say, "Hey, one of us wants to be more glorified than the other. Can you do that for us? We want everyone else to see us too." And so the dilemma here is this. Who are they thinking about? The inward struggle is in themselves. They're thinking no more further than this. "Lord, glorify us too. Don't forget about us. We'd love to be able that everybody could see us." Because remember that some of the disciples are thinking that Jesus is going to set up an earthly kingdom and rule from the old temple grounds or the old grounds in which they're going to build up Jerusalem so much that the king would come back, King David, and sit on his throne and literally reign from Jerusalem. So Jesus says, that's not why I came. That's not why I came. Because the request is, I want to be more favored. I want to be more famous. I want to be more dignified. And even though there are brothers, one of us wants to be more dignified than the other. So the question is that really different? Can the church structure be so much that sometimes we do the same? Can we really be honest with ourselves? Can church structure be so much that there are those who would come into church structure and control, to manipulate? Remember, we are both sinner and saint at the same time, and sometimes that saint doesn't show up. Sometimes that sinner mentality, even myself, anybody in here, we can have that personality that we want to control and pave out our own way of glory, even inside the church. And so I think that it's interesting is what the commentator said. The commentator in here says this: Jesus points out to James and to John that the way to greatness in his kingdom is not, as they think, by a mere decree, which is what they used to do for the kings. The king said, "Okay, you're my advisor, and just decree that. Jesus says that's not the case. That's not the case of Jesus just granting. But the way to greatness is through the deepest humiliation. And so Jesus says, are you willing to die Are you willing to die? Are you really willing to give up your life in order to become great? Because that's what I'm going to do. Are you going to follow me in that? And the disciples, oh, yeah. But also remember how many disciples were looking at the cross, watching Jesus die. How many of the 12? Do you guys remember? One was dead. One stood before the cross. Where were the other 10? Hiding for fear of their own lives. And so we see that even the guys that were around Jesus for 3 years, taught by God himself, ran. So we kind of say, well, that's similar for us today, is where our inward struggle is to the point where we wanted to say, okay, Jesus, no, Jesus, can you? Jesus, almost in this section, is saying something I think even more than this. I think Jesus is saying, you haven't listened to me yet. Why would you listen to me now? And so when we look at what Mark records this, and Jesus said to them, and I will make you fishers of men. So he called out to them, saying, I will make you fishers of men. You just need to come follow me. And then this, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and again, and Jesus looking at him, this man who says, Lord, I have never broken a single law. I've never sinned. Jesus loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come. That's a difficult thing to do. It's a difficult thing to do, is to look to find ways in which, Lord, where can we follow you? How can we follow you? Where is the guideline? And Jesus says, just come and follow me. Don't let anything else hinder from getting to know me, from following me, to go and reach out to others. We're the ones who like to pile it on so much that our former self is something different. But interesting enough is, look at Mark chapter 10, verse 43 to 44. Let's read this together. But it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be. So we look, and Jesus flipped this paradigm on its head. He says, if you want to be great, go serve those that you don't feel you should be serving. If you want to stand with me in my kingdom, make sure you are the ones. Make sure that you're the one serving others. When you look at what he did, because we're coming on the final week that we look at what Jesus did before he was crucified. The night before he was crucified, he takes a basin of water. He takes off his cloak. The disciples come in. What does he do? He washes their feet. A servant washes the feet. A servant does that. Not the king of everything. Not the guy who designed galaxies and makes sure that the universe is properly aligned. Guy had it all, gave it all up. Came and washed the disciples' feet to show them how to care for others. And said, if you want to be great, serve others. If you want to be great, look after each other. If you want to be great, make sure that everyone around here knows who Jesus is and what Christ has done for all of us. Because the greatest in the kingdom gave up his life. The greatest of the kingdom was naked, stripped on that, and tortured to death for us, for you, for me. The greatest thought we were worth something. So he served us in the the greatest way possible. What does that have for our implications for us today? Is that whoever God has placed you with, he says, just serve. Serve. Be my hands and feet to others so that they may know who I am. And so today, when we're looking at what we do, we are to be the hands and feet of Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us. Lord God, this is something that Lord God, this is going to be difficult for us, because Satan would have for us to be fearful, to ask questions. Lord, did you really say? Look at it as also something that Satan would do for us, that, Lord God, he would put anger and bitterness and disloyalty to try to distract us from who you are. Lord God, help us understand that, Lord God, you sought out people in order to show them love. You were our servant. You went to the cross for us. And Lord God, that is an amazing thing to look at, as why would the King of the universe give his life for me in order that we may be where you are, to stand with you in your glory. So Lord, help us look forward to that glory as, Lord God, today we shine with the power you give us from the Holy Spirit to shine forth in your love. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.